Let's turn our Bibles back to, actually turn them to Titus 3. We will go back to Romans. I want to just kind of wrap up that reference that the same truth that Paul taught about believers being subject unto governing authorities was true, not as some sporadic truth that changed with the wind or changed with the times or the seasons or that people lived, but they were unchanging, that it was a universal truth and one that I have yet to find to be better or obeyed, or that disobeyed is going to get the blessing of God upon anyone's life. We looked at 1 Peter 2 already, that Peter said the same thing, that everyone is to submit to the ordinance of man, not for our benefit, but for the Lord's benefit. That's ultimately important. And that we are to submit to the king or to the governing rulers. And we are to do that because the role of government is to punish evildoers and to do good to those who do well. And that's the will of God for the church, that we as free men and women, free by salvation, live under the power of God, thereby having the ability to do those things that are contained in the scriptures relative to this issue of submission to the governing authorities. And in Titus, we looked at the Cretans, who were known for their riot against any kind of perception that their rules were, that their rights were being hindered in any particular way, much like what we do today in our country. And that we have the mentality that the purpose of the government, that it exists so that they can give me a platform and a continued unhindering liberty to indulge in my evil, and that if there is something that's hindering that, then it's government's responsibility to remove the impediment so I can continue to do wrong. And that's exactly what's happening and what's been happening. And at this point, I don't see anything changing in America except more of the same and maybe even worse than what we're seeing now. But what is the believer's response in all this? Well, it's not to ditto the world's attitude towards what's going on, but it's to be the exact opposite. Not to speak evil, not to be fighters, but gentle and meek unto all men, that's verse 2. The reason being, of course, because that foolish and disobedient and deceive and lust-serving behavior was the behavior of the lost, and before we became believers, and it is the current behavior of the lost. And that's what he outlines right here. He says the reason you are to obey, submit to the governing authorities, not to fight and resist, is because we were ourselves once foolish, deceived, disobedient, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I don't know about you, but that sounds like your neighbor and my neighbor. And a whole lot of other neighbors and people that you work with and people that you know. That sounds like society. And we were just like they are. And so we have been rescued from that. And so we are to be the opposite of that. Just like Paul told the Cretans, the church at Crete, those believers in Crete. So the rebellion against the Roman authorities and authority in general had nothing to do with injustice as much as it had to do with indulgence. There is no, let me give you an illustration I tapped on or touched on last week. Abortion. Here's one that's very interesting and clearly an evidence of what I've been saying. The reason why people want the government, the Supreme Court, rulers, etc., to continue to allow women to murder their children is indulgence, not injustice. It is unjust to kill babies. No question about that. But for the expediency of our indulgence, we have a government that promotes, by their toleration and their financial support, of the wholesale holocaust of multiple millions of our children. Now, women want to have abortions, not because it's an injustice, but because it's an indulgence. They want to remove that human from them so they can keep living in sin, you see. And all the arguments made against it are just ridiculous. Well, what about the standard? What about this? Okay, because this is what we're talking about. That's just one example of having a government in your thinking whose existence is to permit you to continue in your indulgence that you call an injustice if someone infringes upon that right to kill a baby. And calling the baby a fetus doesn't change the fact that a fetus is a human. Okay, so let's make that perfectly clear. And I could state that same case with so many different, you know, different so-called freedoms that we have in America. And our thinking, and here's another one, okay? What about the issue with the home market right now that's taking a nosedive? Now, we want the government to come in. Now get this, I want you to listen, because it's simple. This is a simple argument that I have heard, and I've been listening. Where's the person gonna say something? Okay, you brought that home for $500,000, and you said to yourself, I'm gonna buy that home, and I'm gonna sell like Donald Trump told me, or my friends told me, when it gets up to like $900,000. I'm gonna make myself a big old $400,000 profit, and I'm going to sell a home and move into another one and do the same thing, keep flipping houses. Or I'm going to buy four or five houses. I can't afford to live in an apartment, but I'm going to buy four or five houses and flip them. Well, you flip at the wrong time. Okay? So now you're blaming the government, saying that they have an obligation to lower and fix interest rates so that I can hopefully stay in at least one of these places that I done brought that was overpriced. It's not government's responsibility to bail you out. That's called the cyclical pattern of real estate. This country has gone through the cyclical pattern of highs and lows in real estate forever. It's not the government's responsibility to bail you out because of your indulgence, because of your greed, and you buying a house you know you couldn't afford, but you did it anyway because you want to make a profit. It's not the government's responsibility to suddenly give you a break so that you can continue in your indulgence. See how all this nonsense just continually gets wiped away and no one ever asks the question, wait a minute, what's the role of government? Didn't we see it last week? It is to punish evildoers and to do good to them that do well. Didn't say anything about real estate. Didn't say anything about anything else. So on our thinking, we have to have a government that permits us to enjoy our indulgences. That's not their responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility to give every single person in New Orleans a big fat $1 million check. It's not the government's responsibility to bail out New Orleans for a natural disaster brought on by the Lord. You see how stupid our society's become? We think government's existence is to give us something for nothing. Those who had insurance, like smart people do, when you buy a home and a car, whatever, they're gonna get the stuff back. No one tells people out here in Los Angeles and Orange County to live on a mountain of mud because you want to get away from all humans in society. And so when your house burns down, it's not the responsibility of FEMA to come and give you a break on a low-cost loan. That's a privilege, not a right. They don't have to do that. They choose to do it because they want to do it. And then you rebuild on that same ash heap next year. 2 years later, the mudslide comes, knocks your house down. It's not the responsibility of government to build you a brand new house. We have a wrong attitude. And I'm telling you, a wrong attitude about the role of government. And you got all these politicians promising people everything. It's ridiculous. It's not the role of government to promise you anything except we're going to deal with bad guys and we're going to reward those good folk by doing well. That's it. Role of government right there. And no one's saying it. Nobody. I haven't heard anybody say it at all. I go back into the fathers, the founding fathers, so-called, and I don't see their role as doing anything other than that. Not at all. It's not the federal government's responsibility to make your life better than it was yesterday. Life happens. Things happen. Maybe you should have brought that insurance policy instead of that van or that truck. People warned you. You know what? There's a category for hurricane. Maybe you need to get that in. I've lived with hurricanes before, and I'm going to do just fine. Don't bother me. Okay, here comes the tidal wave. No one tells you to go take a trip on a Carnival cruise line known for making people sick. Probably time and time again, you get sick, you want to sue somebody, sue the government, sue everybody, sue the ocean. You sue the Lord. Why not? His ocean. People just lost their minds because they don't know the role of government. They don't care. Government doesn't seem to want to tell anybody what their role is. The media won't let you know because it doesn't sell papers to tell you what the role of government is. The school systems aren't going to tell you. And many of the teachers now just telling outright lies, raising whole generations of insurrectionists to ride against the government. This whole election that we're witnessing right now is media run. Don't be fooled by it. This is a whole media run election. They're trying to steer everybody's mind. The best thing you can do is keep that television off, OFF, until it's time to get into some substance, and you can get the substance by looking at the record of the candidates, not listening to the media, not listening to them at all, because you're going to get frustrated, and if your hair turns all gray, you're going to do his sample example and cut it all off, so no one will know how gray it got or will get. So we can't live like the heathen. We can't live rebelling against the government. Every time they have a handout, we want our handout too. As I said, people rebelled against the government and laws they deemed, not that were in actuality, but what they deemed restricted to their so-called rights. But in actuality, their rebellion against government was so that they could further indulge in their uncontrolled passions. That's what motivates people to do what they're doing. This behavior are the actions of lost people. And Paul was clear that this was the real issue. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, hateful and hating one another. That's the motivation behind all this desire to want to have your indulgences satisfied, calling them an injustice when government does not meet the demands of your lust. That's what it is. It's an indulgence, not an injustice. Now, we as believers, of course, we don't have any mandate by Scripture or by the Spirit. Don't even blame this on the Holy Spirit to rebel and to resist and to fight against a government who, frankly, hasn't done us anything wrong. I'm standing here today preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God to those who want to listen. I'm preaching it, ironically, on a channel that the government allows you to speak, public access. Okay, and for free. Non-commercial television. You think I'm going to fight against the government who God is using as a means to put out the word of God? Are you insane? I'm not going to fight a government who the Lord is using for me personally and for you and for others to put out the gospel. That's insanity. One must learn to see. What good is the government doing? I could think of one good thing government's doing. Allow me to stand up here and do this. There's a whole lot of places you can't stand and do this at all. A lot of them. The world is bigger than the U.S. and California. Tremendous freedoms. You won't find me resisting the government. I might criticize it, but I ain't going to ask for no insurrection. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere is the false doctrine. I want to say it again. of civil disobedience or Christian activism, all that is a bunch of nonsense. Nowhere taught in the Bible, nowhere taught in the believer. Quite the contrary, we are taught the exact opposite. Believers are to be the most model citizens in any society, and that just makes good sense. You want to look like your neighbor? Oh no, I want to look like Christ. Any teaching from anyone contrary to this truth is false doctrine. It's as false as name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, heal it, and seal it. It's all false doctrine, period. We're not to be the rebels of the society, but the best citizens, even under slavery or rulers and slave masters who were cruel to the Christians. This is what the Bible teaches. I just don't believe that God wants people to suffer. I know. That's the problem. They understood it. We don't. So what you're saying, no, it's not what I'm saying. It's what happened to the church, that people suffered and died by being Christians, by being model citizens in the society. I don't find anyone saying, well, stop being citizens, raise a ruckus, form a political action committee against the government and get mad. No. And get your rights. No. Not at all. We are to be the best citizens so as not to bring evil upon the reputation of Christ. For the Lord's sake, not for your sake or mine. As I said, your world and mine is a whole lot bigger than us. This whole thing has nothing to do with us. This is about the Lord's reputation. Wives are to submit to their husbands, not because of the wife or the husband, but because of the Lord's sake. The wife isn't to give a reason for someone to look upon her and it to blaspheme Christ. That's what the Bible says. It's about the Lord's sake, not about our individual rights anymore. It's the Lord's sake. People aren't looking at that. It's the Lord's sake that matters. We are to be doing these things because of the Lord's sake. We are to be living a life that's righteous because of the Lord's sake, not because of our sake. We're not to be living in such a way that is a blasphemy to the name and reputation of the Lord, because people are watching, and Christ. And that's a great motivation right there. And it's one that we really love the Lord. This should be an honor to live in such a manner that would bring glory to God and not to ourselves. There's no speech by Paul saying, free at last, thank God Almighty, we free at last. You don't see Paul advocating none of that. Be the best citizen. You preached a tremendous sermon on the whole civil rights movement, and the motivation behind it was totally wrong. And look at the results of it right now. We're not free. Black folk are not free. We're in bondage to our own sinfulness and our own insanity. Beautiful sermon on the whole fallacy behind the civil rights movement. MLK's model was Gandhi, not God. And Gandhi was no believer. I don't want to get into that. Somebody call and get mad. Well, go on and call and get mad. Listen to the dial tone, because I'm not interested in getting an argument. The whole thing was a fallacy. Evidence is irrefutable. Look at us now. We had opportunities because of all these movements to prove to everybody that we were as equal and as smart as everybody else. What did we do? Act a fool. Almost validated the reason for white America not to give us the freedoms that they weren't their right to do it anyway, to withhold the freedoms, but not to treat us like a bunch of slaves. But the things that they fear, we became. We don't want to admit that. Black folk don't like admitting truth. That's one thing. We do not like to hear the truth. Everything white folks said we become, we became, and then some. And we had the chance to prove them wrong and didn't do it. A small percentage, very small percentage of our race graduate from school, become somebody. And look at how they portray us, a bunch of thugs and murderers. That's all they ever see. And what do? We run to that image. We run to the Denzels and others who portray us as murderers and thugs. Well, he did this movie on, what was this thing come out now about? Not America. I'm talking about the new one he came up with. Huh? The Baiters. I bet that movie won't make a dime. black folk don't want to hear nothing about, no, we were debaters and went to, was it Yale or Harvard that the black students went and debated and actually I think won the debate, whatever the case. We don't want to hear about that. Hear about the latest thug and pimp and pusher. That's the heritage that we amplify. You don't think that there is some good in us as a race? We got what we said we wanted and then dismissed the whole thing. And the church has joined the ranks of the insane. We turned the keys over to the lunatics in the asylum. In fact, we took the door off the hinges and became insane ourselves. We become more sinful than the sinners around us. We sin against the truth. We are not to bring evil upon the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity under situations and circumstances that were infinitely worse than you could ever dream of being in. And they were in Paul's day and Peter's day. The instruction was crystal clear. Don't act like you did in your lost state, rebellious and blaspheming. Not at all. Now let's go back to Romans. We were to live a life that was the exact opposite. The believers were to do it then. We are to do it now of our lost state. There's simply no excuse. I want to say again, there's no excuse. There's no excuse biblically. There's no excuse at all. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Listen to this. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Do you realize that the government that God has ordained is the ordinance of God? Not written words. The governmental system is the ordinance of God to humanity. I can't understand that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I understand the society you grew up in because I understand the society I grew up in. I lived through the 60s. I know about all that rebellion. I lived through Watergate. I know about all that rebellion. And all these youngsters growing up at that time, all they got was a reflection of their rebellious parents. That's all they were taught. It's a rebellion. Another generation breeds rebellion. This one breeds rebellion. The one that comes after us is worse than the one that taught us the lie. So much so now the people of rebellion of the 60s are scared of their own children. Terrified. What do you think is going to happen when they have children? It's going to be far worse. Each generation, rebellion gets worse and worse and worse. No authority is to be obeyed except the authority of my own lust. That's what it boils down to. Whoever resists the power, remember, we saw the power was the governmental authorities. Whoever sets himself against and opposes the power or authority that God has established stands not against the government, but against the disposition of God, that which God has ordained in his sovereignty, and they shall receive damnation. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. It means that those who resist the governmental authorities bring upon themselves. Okay, look at it again. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves. It means to bring upon yourselves the judgment they deserve for violating the law, for violating the ordinance of God. If the government tells you to do something, if the government says you can't speed 150 miles an hour because you feel it's your right, rights don't come by feelings, okay, and the governmental authorities pull you over, put you in jail, take away your license, what have you, you did something that deserved judgment. It didn't, the cop doesn't put you up and go, man, that was great. You look like you just did, you know, a movie. No, you got what you deserve. When you hear them doors go, boom. That's what you deserve. You brought that upon yourself. It's not time to go to Joe's Bales Bondsman, get out of jail, grab a television camera, tell a lie. And how it was wrong for the police to chase you through all the city streets, and they could have helped me, and they could have been responsible for killing somebody. Not you, but the police. You instigated the insanity, but of course you want to blame the authorities. They just should let me go. All I do is run 150 miles an hour in the street, my car, man. It's got my new mags, everything on the car. Is that just justified? Everything is just justified. And what are the dumbed down citizens? Yeah, that's right. Police could have killed somebody. It's wrong for the police to chase speeders until you get hit. Then you want to grab a camera, CBS, ABC, NBC, and start telling how terrible it was that your children got killed. But wait a minute. Yesterday, you were saying that the police should have chased the speeders. You just happened to test your own theory today when it happened to you. And when they drive the SUV in your living room, what do you say then? You want to repeat the same thing you said yesterday? After you pull a guy out the SUV, say, okay, yeah, well, what insurance do you have? Is you going to fix this? You want to sue the government for not having barricades, along the street so if the vehicle came in, it would have missed your house. Everybody wants to sue somebody. Utterly ridiculous. If Christians break the law in resisting the government, they would bring down upon themselves the judgment of that government. That's why we need to live according to what Paul said, the meek and quiet spirit. We need to have a spirit that doesn't resist government, but we need to be praying that we live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and honesty, that they look upon us not as the rabble-rousers of the society, but they see us as model citizens supporting the government. That's how government needs to see the believer. They don't need to consider us as another PAC, a political action committee. They don't need to look at us that way. We made ourselves that way. I'm proud about it. Nothing to be proud about. You may think and speak and act as if you're being treated unfairly because you resist the government. Well, not according to the Bible. You're being treated exactly the way that you deserve to be treated. If you act like a criminal and you get caught, well, don't start praying about it. You got what you deserve. And stop calling on the pastor as a character reference. He should be telling the truth. What did the fool do? Well, he was speeding and, because he's speeding, he jumped the rail or something and three people were killed. Put the fool in jail. Three counts of murder. He shouldn't have been driving like that. A person who gets behind the wheel of a car and willingly drives like an idiot knows that there is a potential they're going to hurt somebody. That's premeditation. We call it reckless endangerment. I don't care what you call it. Put him in jail for three counts of reckless endangerment. But stop pimping pastors. And pastors, stop being fools. Ruining your reputation, the reputation of Christ. You ought to go there, like I illustrated last week, say put him in jail. Give him the maximum sentence. That shields your reputation and the reputation of Christ. Because every other liberal play preacher wants to go there and get a member in the camera. To look like they're somebody, some civil rights leader. Need to go there and say, no, I'm an enforcer of the law of the land. Put him in jail. And change your phone number. Lose the number. Say, this man has lost his mind. Well, I tell you what, biblically disprove it. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Does that make sense? Rules are not a terror to good works, but to evil works. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. If you do good, you got nothing to worry about. But if you do evil, oh yeah, you got a lot to be worried about. The ruler would be the one who is chief in power. In Paul's day, it was Caesar. In our day, it's the president. You may not like the president. You may not like President Bush. You may not like his policies. You may not like whatever. I don't advocate, and you still, you would think that people have learned by now, but we just don't learn. There's another push by some idiot congressman to impeach the president. And all these old relics from the past are calling for the president's impeachment. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's no need for it. There's no need for it. It's all this insurrection. Right, you want to start another impeachment hearing? For what? What did he do? Well, he started the Iraqi war, okay? And there are weapons. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Were you there? Well, where did they go? I don't know. He followed the intelligence he had, just like Hillary, just like everybody else, just like Kerry, just like Obama, just like them all. The intelligence they had, they all voted support, just like Bill Clinton. So now what happened? Well, I
didn't really mean everything I said.
Yes, you did.
I was against the whole war from the beginning.
No, you weren't.
Well, you know, I support the president, but I didn't mean, and what does if mean and all that?
Everything is different, you see. Everything is different. They were all behind the president when they said, go in there and do your business. And then when they didn't find what they were looking for, I really didn't. If, what does if mean? Yes, you did. So y'all did. Y'all a bunch of liars. We don't want to support the president. Well, you know, he ain't running. He's going to be there until he leaves. He don't care. He's laughing all the way to the ranch because he's going to be there until he leaves. I'm not going to sit there and ask for his removal. He didn't do anything, as far as I'm concerned, that demonstrated that we should impeach him. Because, listen, if the enough governing officials really believed that, he'd have been gone. He didn't do anything. We need to respect the president. We need to pray for the president and keep our mouths shut, really, except in prayer. It's a tough job, I'm sure, to be the president, because you got to deal with a bunch of morons in America who think they know something. We're the dumbest people on the top side of this planet thinking we know something about being a president. We don't even get a promotion on our job, and we think we know what it means to be a president. Our own supervisor dismisses us. We've been with the company 10, 15 years. He wouldn't dare promote us to be the chief janitor of a job. And we wouldn't act like we know what it means to run a country. Wouldn't dare impose my piddly brain upon the president of the United States. People eat chicken wings and drink beer and get fat want to criticize the president of the United States doing nothing, sitting on a doggone couch with curlers in their hair, eating wings and smoking death sticks and criticizing the president like you know something, like he owes you something. Get off your behind and get a job. This is ridiculous. And the church is all behind it too, all in their rebellion. And how dare Hucklebuckle criticize the president, talking about his diplomacy, a strong-arm diplomacy. He's the only president in my living time who had the courage to kick the terrorists behind. And it should have been done a long time ago. But it wasn't being done. Take the fight to the enemy. And he's wiping them off the face of the earth where they need to be wiped off. Instead of criticizing them, we should be holding a parade for the current administration. And give them more bombs. Say, this pastor's crazy. It's all right. More bombs. Rulers also is in the plural. It's a plural form. It indicates all those who are chief or supreme in all areas of government. We don't like Supreme Court. Too bad. God put them there too. If you're doing what's right, you have no need to be fearful. As I said, I don't have any fear of the government because I'm not revolting against it. I'm not advocating their dismissal. I'm not loading up the Ultima to go, to Sacramento or down the street here and off somebody. It's crazy. Don't think they're people that don't have that mentality. They want our leaders dead. Do you think it's going to make things any better for you? It's amazing. I submit my life to the sovereign control of God, and I have no reason to fear the government. That's why I don't fear the government. If I submit myself to the sovereignty of God and to the rule of God, I don't drive 100 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone or any other zone. I'm not a race car driver. Okay? I don't take pyrotechnics and blow things up. I'm not a demolitionist. I don't do stupid things. I just don't. I don't do things to get the government to watch me. The government is probably one of the last bodies of people you want bothering you. You want them on your side, okay? You don't want them against you. You want them on your side. I don't have a police record. I know, a black man without a police record is like a day without sunshine. Well, there's a few of us that don't have it because I don't find it something I need to, I don't need no street creds. How about having the credit of having a life that by the law standard is spotless? You don't have to worry about getting a job if you have no record, okay? You have to worry about, you're going to go to a job interview and hope they don't do one of those deep, deep, deep searches of your life, of your history. And they can dig to the bottom of the planet. They're just going to see the man has been a law-abiding citizen, pays all of his taxes that are required of him. He served the military, had secret clearance, and everything he was supposed to do. Good, faithful soldier, good conduct medal, did everything asked of him to do, recommendations all over the place, because he did what he was supposed to do. Got jobs that were impossible for him to do, that's because he gave God the glory when it happened. And on and on and on. So let them look. That's what you want government to do. When they look at your life, they go, wow. They don't go, whoa. This man or woman did what? No, you don't want that. There's no harm in living a nice life because it will bless you. Listen to me. Listen. Do you honestly think, I want you to really hear me carefully. Do you honestly think that I could stand here and talk like this if I knew there was something that could take me out? I would be insane. I would be insane to stand here and talk like this. Fearless. I'm afraid of no man. Do you think my brain would be working? You have to have the power of God behind you and a life that will not discredit the God you serve to do this. You think God would honor anything that I'm doing? Anything at all? At any time? You think God would be behind it to promote his word, the truth? No. Wouldn't do it. I don't fear government. I fear God. When you fear God, you don't have to fear government in the sense that you're afraid of them doing something to you. And because of being a law-abiding citizen, there have been a lot of freedoms open up to me, including the one, as I said earlier, that I'm doing right now. I'm not a loud-mouthed, hate-filled, rabble-rousing, causing embarrassment to the church and to our Lord believer. It's not even necessary. If you don't want to have any fear of the powers coming down on you in judgment, then simply do what's good. Practice what is right, and you'll be praised rather than judged. It's only when professing believers decide to revolt and protest and resist the governing authorities we find ourselves concerned about our freedoms and about what the government will do to us rather than for us. It's only when we get on the line out there and act a fool. It's not necessary. You make your greatest testimony, your greatest, and here I'm going to use this word and I want to explain it, your greatest protest. The purpose of protest is to show publicly your disdain for X, Y, and Z. You make your greatest protest for God by living the right life in his presence and before other people. You can be no better picket sign than that. You'd be a great picket sign for the gospel. That's what we need to be. Now, notice this again. I'm going to keep saying the same truth different ways over and over and over again. Paul, Jesus, Peter, James, John, no other writer of Scripture ever advocated revolt against the governing authorities. Not a one of them. Never. None of them. People act like this protest. I've heard Jesus being called by fools as the greatest advocate of protest in the universe, and he protested again, blah, blah, blah. If he did, it would be against false religion. Okay. People seem to forget the whole issue of Jesus being here to die for the sins of men, and they show, well, he turned over the money changer's table. Well, who was running the money? Okay. Was it Rome? Nope. Was it Greece? Nope. Babylon? Nope. It was the Jews. It was religion. That's where the money was. Jesus couldn't stand false religion any more than I can. And when Peter and the other apostles stood before the Sanhedrin, what was that? Was it political? Was it political disobedience? It was against religion. What did the great Sanhedrin council tell Peter and the others to do? Pay taxes? Fight the power? Told them to stop preaching Christ. That's not political. That's spiritual. Does anybody use the brain that God gave him? It's been a spiritual conflict ever since. This has nothing to do with politics. Never advocate a revolt against the government. You could never prove at all. Listen, the only way you could prove that the writers of Scripture advocated revolt against the governing authorities is by not using Scripture to prove that these writers of Scripture advocated the revolt against governing authorities. You'd have to not use the Bible. You could say the Bible says it. You can manipulate some kind of an example, but you could never prove it. But since most people in the churches are dumber than a stump, it wouldn't be difficult to get most folk emotionally moved, mentally challenged, okay, because they don't choose to think, to follow some fool anywhere and to believe whatever lie he promised to give them. Instead of saying, you know what? That's what the Bible says. Let's move on. People don't want to hear what the Bible says. Takes the fun out their wretched life. To do so today is clearly a violation against the sovereign plan of God for this nation. Paul warned Christians against any kind of revolting because they were already being blamed for everything in the society. As I said last week, Rome blamed the Christians if the weather was bad, if the crops didn't grow. The Christians were blamed for that. They were blamed, one of the Neros had said that the Christians had prayed against the crops growing, so now we got to kill believers because of that. They were being blamed for everything. Paul did not want Christians to revolt against the government and to give government a reason to hinder the work of the gospel. Not personal freedoms, the gospel. We today have done exactly that. We have antagonized the society around us, and we have antagonized the governmental authorities, not because of the gospel, but because of our own political agendas. One thing that absolutely, and I would never be a Roman Catholic in the first place for obvious reasons, but one of the things that really destroyed the Roman Catholic Church was study the history. Stop being stupid. The intermingling, the interweaving between the Roman Church and all the governing authorities, and the trade-off that the government, especially military rulers and all these different kinds of kings, wanted to incorporate the church, and the church used the government, and it just became one big giant political machine. There was nothing spiritual about it. I had to chuck the Bible and call those who were true biblicists heretics and burn them because they got in the way of their little political plans. The only reason why I'm not fried today is because, well, thank God for his mercy, and we have a government, at least for now, that won't allow the burning of real believers. Keep living. That may change. We have antagonized the society around us. We have antagonized the governing authorities, not because of the gospel, but because of our own political agendas. We have actually allowed the government, through our resistance, to persecute us, to hinder our preaching, to resist us and the movement of Christianity. We did it. We do it. We laid down our Bibles and start following candidates. We laid down our Bibles in the 60s and the 70s and started following movements. And I watched it. And when I went to Liberty College, Liberty Baptist College back then, now it's university, I watched the Moral Majority. I seen what they did. I was involved with that. Not necessarily with the distribution of their philosophy, but the inner workings of some of the things that they were involved in. You had to be, really. And I seen what their agenda was. And it was unbiblical. It was wrong. That God's not fighting four or five different classifications of sin. All unrighteousness is sin, including false religion, which he didn't fight. And I was curious about that. Why wasn't Liberty fighting against false religion? Why did they have people up there who are now false teachers? I was there when they had them there. Jesus fought against false religion. Why don't we do it? We get to pick and choose the kind of sins we think God hates. All unrighteousness is sin. And the sin of the church is worse because it sins against the truth. We do have reason to fear the power because of our own rebellion against the powers of God. And now so-called churches are being afraid that they're going to get their tax-exempt status revoked because they become political machines. Yeah? Law says X, Y, and Z. So it ain't fair that in black things, you can find all these Democratic candidates going into the churches, so-called, and violating the very laws of the land. Yeah, you're right. Why is it that when a black church can open up their doors for all kinds of political candidates, from the mayor up to the presidency, and they can come in and speak and preach, vote for my wife, vote for this person, that's not against the law, and it is. And if Harley Howard tells the membership of the church, who I'm voting for, at least I'm just using it as an example, somebody tells the government and suddenly we're no longer tax exempt. Where's the logic in that? I open up the doors of the church for a Democrat, that's fine. Perfectly fine. Perfectly, no problem. I mentioned a Republican candidate, kabling bling, tax exempt status is gone and we're going to come down against you. Somebody's got to tell me where's the fairness in that. You know what? Of course it isn't fair. It isn't even right. So what is my responsibility? Obey the governing authorities. Is it the fight? Nope. Nope. Not at all. Of course it's not fair. So what? When you're dealing with a world of sinners, nothing's fair. Remember that. This country's being governed by evil people, not being governed by the religion. The Christianity is being governed by sinners. And sinners are going to do what sinners do to their advantage. That's how they live. I don't have to live like that. I'm not going to put myself in a position, this church in a position where we lose our privilege. Is it not more important to be in a position to preach the gospel than to have some lying person here, whether it be Democrat or Republican, promising something they could never deliver anyway without the sovereignty of God behind it? Candidates have been promising checks and money and everything for decades. Ain't nobody got nothing but another promise from another empty-headed candidate. Do you think it's more profitable for me to be in a position to preach the gospel and to teach the word of God to people who are watching than to have some lying so-and-so come here at the risk of losing everything? I'd rather have this position than to have some liar come here and tell me what he or she's going to do, not going to be able to do nothing without the sovereignty of God. And get what? Get mad. It's better for me to do what I'm doing now, not antagonize the government, to be thankful that they gave me an opportunity to sit here and speak. I just say my tax dollars are at work right here. And good highways to travel on, good streets to drive on. They were messing up the highway today. You know what? This is going to look good in about a week. Fixing stuff up, tax dollars at work. Say they're going to raise the taxes. So what is our responsibility? Submit to the government. Listen, California, I don't care what the governor does. The governor was right. Governor said, basically, in his state of the speech, whatever, he says, I told you so. That's what he said. That's what he said. I told you so. He had told him when he got elected, If you do not support these bond measures, the 3% cut is going to get higher. Now they want, he wants 10. He was right. He was right. And you know what? You know, somebody tell me, what's the Democratic solution? Raise taxes. You win the prize. That's all they know how to do, raise taxes. Take away more of your money that you don't even have. That's their solution to everything in the world, raise taxes. So what is our responsibility? You know, we're going to move out of California. That is a solution. That's true. Unfortunately, it's not a tax, but yeah, you're right. Guess you could move to Vegas, what have you, they'll pay no taxes. No, we're going to see, pay your taxes. If they raise them, you got to pay them. You say, but wait a minute, if I pay, I'm going to pay taxes to a bunch of folk ain't doing nothing. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what? That's life. See, God is squeezing folk. He's squeezing whole states, cities, the country. He's mashing us because of our iniquity. We trust so much in things other than God. He's mashing them. Things are happening all around us. What is our responsibility? Submit to the government. We'll see you next week. Pay your taxes. I don't want to pay taxes. Well, you know, you don't have to pay taxes. But when the government comes and finds out where you at, you're not going to pay taxes. You're going to go to jail. We've known preachers, my wife and I, known certain preachers that don't pay taxes. Of course, they move to foreign countries. Then they pop up every now and then, sniff to get some money. Then they take their money back to their, to Jamaica or wherever they go. It's sad. It's got no testimony. Set up a business in America, make money, come from wherever you are and hide and get the money and fly back to avoid paying taxes. That's pitiful. It's not uncommon. I want to have a platform, and hope you do too, where you can, with tremendous freedom, speak Christ. I don't care if it's a public platform or one-on-one situation. Because situations are going to come where a voice, your voice is going to be heard. As long as you write with the Lord, as long as you write by everything that you need to be right with, you'll have that door. The door will happen. I'm telling you. I'm not saying it. I'm not trying to rev you up, okay, team. We need. I ain't telling you that none. I'm telling you what I know. The door will open for you to talk to people you would have never thought you could talk to. Never, never, never. And you want that. You want to live for the Lord in such a way where if he wants to use you for that moment, he uses you for that moment. And it ain't about you anyway. But he chooses to do it. That's what you want. You want that kind of freedom. You don't want someone to look at your life and go, yeah, well, you know this and that. And didn't I see you on CNN? You were holding up a protest sign. And you don't want that. Didn't I see, you know, 1,000 people could be on the protest line and, you know, going to take your picture in jail and put up on television. That your whole testimony gone. You don't want that to happen. And God will do that to make you an example. Okay? 8,000 people could be speeding on the 405 freeway. You join them. Guess who gets pulled? The cop will interweave throughout 8 lanes of traffic and get you. And here it is, you know, a news van just happened to be pulled by CBS and they just want, it's been a short news day. And they're going to stop and film you sitting on the curb like that with your hands all handcuffed. They were just doing a series on speeders on the freeway, and here you are with your hands cuffed, sitting on the curb of the road, all zoomed in with your testimony shot to the ground. You don't want that. You don't want that. You may laugh and say things like that don't happen. Do you want to take that chance? It happens. Did it happen to you, Pastor? No, ain't that stupid? Are you crazy? I don't want nothing like that happen to me. I want to have this opportunity to do what's right. I want to see the hand of God. I don't want to have my life ruined for some stupidity. Look at verse 4 in closing. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Government is a servant of God to you for good. Now, listen, for good doesn't translate into write me the FEMA check. Now I'm going to end with this right here because this is beyond absurd. There are residents in Louisiana who are suing the government, individuals, for $1 billion each. What fool living in a house? There ain't no mansions down there on the bayou. Going to sue the government for $1 billion each, individuals, not a class action suit. That one's in the, what would I say that was? Trillions of dollars? I think it was some trillions of dollars. Sue the government. Sue the government. That ain't going nowhere. $1 billion apiece. You weren't living in no $1 billion house. $600 trillion? That's ridiculous. You think that the government's going to give you $600 trillion? They ain't got no money. There you go. Huh? So we're in debt. We're drowning in debt now. We're going to get $600 trillion to give Negroes in Louisiana. That's just madness. You could build another state for that. That's just more madness. Listen, your world, your society has lost its collective mind. Save yours. They might need it one day and not know it. You and I will need our mind all the time. Don't get caught up in this insanity because it's crazy. You know what? Be of good cheer. It's going to get worse. Let's pray. Father, we as believers are to obey and to submit to the government. That's as clear as it can get. And even more so, if you will, next time we talk about the payment of taxes, we are responsible to pay the taxes to the government. So that the good that they do to us, Lord, will continue on. Obviously, there is inequities in government, as there were in Paul's day, and in Jesus' day, and in Peter's day, and in John's day, and all throughout society where sinners reign. This earth is full of sinners. There's no theocracy on earth. The only possible place where you rule, Lord, in terms of people submitting to you is the church. The true church. Apart from that, this world is being run by sinners and sin. And the devil behind all those. Lord, it's so obvious that this is true. I think sometimes we miss the simplicity of all of this. We think we're in control in our campaigning and our selections. Yeah, we are to vote or not. It doesn't matter. Lord, we are to remember that your sovereignty is in play in everything. We don't know what to do. We're doing what we deem is the best we should do. But your sovereignty is always in play. But there's no doubt about what we ought to be doing as believers, and that's to be model citizens, not to give the government a reason through your hand, Lord, to deal with us in judgment. But that they would continue to be a blessing to us by allowing us the freedoms that we do have. Especially the freedom to proclaim the gospel. What a privilege that is above all privileges the government allows us to have a station and stations where we can broadcast your truth, Lord, for free. Lord, what a blessing the same government allows us that privilege. And we should be thankful for that, Lord. We should be thankful for that. And I know I am. I pray we all are, because it is a blessing. Father, I pray that you would bless the giving today. In Jesus' name, amen.